Feeling lost and alone? Looking for validation from your partner, only to find the feeling of rejection and continued frustration? You're together yet so far apart. Now your frustration has turned into disdain and resentment. Your insecurities have begun to affect every aspect of your life. Ironically, you have now become the cold and detached one, shielding yourself from the uncertainties of your relationships. Dr. April Brown has created Bringing Intimacy Back, a series of discussions that are designed to help you reclaim what you have lost along the way. Dr. April will help you rediscover and reconnect to the intimate relationship your heart so desires. Go to www.bringingintimacyback.com today and let the healing begin.
Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back show. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. And we're here, and on this show, intimacy is real. And on this show, we aim to help you increase the intimate connections between your significant other, your children, business networks, community, and your higher power. We give you the secret power to intimacy. So welcome back, guests, and thank you guys for joining us today. And today, we have our very own special guest today. This person that I'm going to talk to you about today is such a unique individual, and she is like a gem in my life. Yes. And so the topic today is intimacy and children and families. And who are we talking about today is Dr. Jamie Sterling. And Dr. Jamie Sterling has a wonderful, extraordinary history in working with children and working with foster children. And the great thing about Dr. Jamie is when you meet her and when we start talking to her, you can see how truly you can connect with her. Yes. So Dr. Jamie, thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. I absolutely am super grateful to get the opportunity to share, you know, something that's very dear to my heart, which is children and families, and offer, you know, whatever conversations we can have to make the intimacy in those lives better. So thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you. A little bit about Dr. Sterling's background, and she's worked with children and families. I know you put over a decade, but I think it's been longer than that.
Yeah, you know, I keep saying that, but then the years add on and on, you know? So yes, well over a decade.
Yes, she is the founder of the Sterling Center, which is a unique concept that I'm going to let her explain, but it helps with a precious one's foster children. And as you know, no one acts really to be born, but many times we're born, and sometimes we're born into situations that maybe have a lot of difficulties with and stuff. And so Dr. Jamie has this passion in helping foster kids, and she's going to talk about that. Yes. Can you talk about the Sterling Center?
Yes. So the Sterling Center, the best way I can explain what we are is a family support agency. And so a lot of times there are mental health, there are case management, there's agencies that do offer a lot of services. My agency, we have specific services, but when I say family support, I mean family support. So whatever everybody else says they can't help you with, we're going to find a way. We aim to rejuvenate, rehabilitate families. And in the foster care system, the children are there because those families are in crisis. And so it's very, very dear to my heart to try to offer the children in foster care the support that they need, the foster parents the support that they need, and then the parents that are struggling with addiction or whatever resulted in them losing their children. So there are so many levels of care that we provide, and mental health support and family support. It's pretty neat to see these families thriving and happy after coming through really bad things. So
wonderful.
It's an honor for me to be able to facilitate that, to lead my team, and to just be a part of something great.
Oh, awesome. Yes. And today's topic is about intimacy and family and children. And with Dr. Jamie, Dr. Jamie is like family to me.
Yes.
Yes.
Very
we have a long history. I met her when she was, I think, a graduate student.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And helping her to that process. And I just finished my process.
Mm-hmm.
And we truly kind of bond. Yes. And she has a passion, which I'm a believer in working with children and how even as a family or as a therapist or as a role model, how we connect with kids truly impact how kids later on connect as they get older to partners and all that kind of stuff. So that's the importance of why we're talking about this subject matter today. Yes. Yes. And Jamie has, two little ones, correct?
I do.
Oh, they're kind of getting big now.
They are 8 and 10, you know? So there's often times where I take my, therapist hat off and say, you know what, as a mom, I can relate, mm-hmm. you know, which is also helpful because my own family, you know, we've had our struggles and we've had to come through things too. So definitely have my own and I think set a good example for them. I hope so.
Yes. Yes. So, and from your experience and stuff, how does intimacy, even starting off when you have children, how does that impact children as they get older in life?
So I think in general, people, when they hear the word intimacy, maybe naturally go to it being something romantic, but intimacy is a very, very broad term with many, many, many meanings. And so when I look at intimacy specifically related to the family dynamic, I'm looking at the connection, empowerment, awareness, involvement, all those things that create a bond through intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And so those key things, if they are in place when children are growing, they have the foundation to have healthy relationships later. So a lot of times adults struggle with intimacy on many levels, whether it's peer groups, marriage, social settings. And a lot of that is because maybe they were lacking that foundation from home and their parents and their, childhood. So if we can lay the foundation,
right,
that's the gold, right? If we can offer as many families support, because I think too, a lot of times people think mental health, well, I have to have a severe diagnosis to go see a therapist. Not at all.
Right.
So we help you learn how to communicate, mm-hmm. how to resolve your conflict effectively. These are things that every family needs.
Right.
Yeah, they actually have to have in order to be happy and to be thriving. So I think a lot of people don't seek support because they don't feel like it's necessary,
mm-hmm.
but it is. And so
right. Or they feel embarrassed about it.
Absolutely. There's still a huge stigma.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. And I'm thinking, starting off from the beginning, sometimes, I don't know if you've had people come to you who are moms, who just had a baby and they're having a hard time with depression and feeling overwhelmed with breastfeeding and all this other stuff. And I know, Jamie, you had two.
Yeah.
Almost close in age and stuff. Yes. Yes, yes. And how do you connect when you're exhausted because of all the demands of a little one? And yes.
That's right. And so having the stressors that we do today, and I think in general, life is so much faster, right? So women don't get the opportunities to just slow down and bond and connect with their little babies because of these pressures where most households require two incomes to survive now,
mm-hmm.
Which is stretching mothers really thin because they're trying to be the nurturer, the protector, and they still also have to help with the finances. So,
right.
With all of that being said, having support or just having somebody say to you, what have you done for self-care this week? How have you honored yourself? And it doesn't have to, it could be 10 minutes, but let's start thinking about how you can do something for 10 minutes every single day to honor you. And so to keep them rejuvenated, right, to be able to be, you know, intimate with their babies and their children.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. What would you suggest for 10 minutes?
You know, like what, I'll tell you exactly what I do. And okay, so, you know me, I'm an open book. Okay. Yes. I'm going to give it all to you. Okay.
Yes.
So, and this is a silly thing. And I always tell people, because when I say it, or I give this example, they're like, oh yeah, I could totally do that. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. So for me, I don't know how everybody else is. Well, after my day of work, okay, I have one mission and one mission only, and that's getting into my nightgown, because I don't like being in dress clothes.
Right.
I like to be comfortable.
Yes.
Well, what happens when I get home? I have little children, mommy, mommy, right? Everybody wants mommy, okay? So what I've taught them is, mommy wants to hear about your day. I can't wait to hear about your day. Let me go change, wash my hands, go potty. And when I come out, we're going to sit and talk about your day. So what was funny is, after time, they started to realize my mom needs that 10 minutes.
Right.
They weren't offended by it. They didn't. In fact, they started laying out my nightgown. So they'd be like, mom, your nightgown's right there. We'll be right here waiting. And
okay,
so,
yes,
yeah, so they were still getting their time,
right,
but I had my 10 minutes to go potty, mm-hmm, to get in my nightgown. Because if I'm not comfortable, I'm not going to be listening to them anyways, you know?
Yes.
And it was just sort of a little traditional thing that we incorporated into our family that allowed me to be present in my conversation with them, not thinking, oh my gosh, I have to go pee, I need to wash my hands. You know, I was done and available to them. And then they say, I'll be like, so how was your day, right? So then they give me their 10 minutes, right? Then they run off and they play and they do their thing.
Okay.
Let me tell you what.
Yeah, I love that idea. It's like you're being a transformer, you know?
Totally. Yes. And the thing is because I gave them attention,
right,
they didn't have negative attention-seeking behaviors all night trying to get my attention.
Okay.
Through tantrums, and that's a lot of stress for mothers and families, okay? So if you just organize the time and make these little fine-tuning, everything runs smooth. And I'm glad to be invited onto this, to be able to share it, because mm-hmm, when people hear that it's these little tiny simple things that make, so now the kids have had my time and they're begging me to go play. They're like, mom, yeah, our day was fine. It was great. Can we go play now? And I'm like, yes. So then, you know, I do dinner or dishes and they're content. Everybody had their time.
Right.
So those are just little tiny things that we can offer in family support.
Okay. So what you're saying, Jamie, Dr. Jamie, what you're saying basically is that if you let your kids know when that they are going to be able to get your attention,
yes,
and you give it to them then,
yep,
you know, then that prevents the negative attention seeking behavior,
right?
Because they already know, hey, I'm going to be able to sit down and talk with mom and share with mom, you know, in 10 or 15 minutes.
That's right. And I honor that. And, you know, and they know they can expect it. They can count on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, you know, a lot of times kids are starving for this intimacy. They're starving for a connection. So they may have tantrums. They may be doing things negative to get our attention. And really what are we saying to them is that, you know, that's a negative energy that these families are living in. It's not good for anybody.
Right.
And it's totally preventable. I mean, within just a few minutes of just connecting and having those intimate moments together.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I would like for you, because people are listening, and in my mind, I kind of know what negative behaviors you're kind of talking about, but some of our audience may not know, like, what is really a negative attention-seeking behavior. So I would like for you guys to address that, and then we can talk more about different ways on how to solve those issues or different kind of strategies in working with kids at all different age level. All right. Yes. So on this first commercial break here, bringing intimacy back, I would like to talk to you guys about a new product and service that we're offering. It's called Vacation Counseling. And Vacation Counseling, it's something that it's a couples retreat. And it's a couples retreat that it's unique because it's a couples retreat where you are not going to be within your home. You come here to Southwest Florida, one of our vacation rental, and therapists will be working with you. We're taking one couple at a time. It's a selection process, and we're working on really trying to help bring each person in a relationship, each couple, more connect. We want to help you guys connect more, to bring the intimacy back into your life. So if you're out there somewhere and you're struggling in your relationship and you may think, oh, maybe I want to do a couples retreat, well, check out Vacation Counseling. We're only taking 7 couples this year. The website is www.vacationcounseling.com. And it is a selection process. So just look it up and check back with us. All right. Now, Jamie, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to go back now to talk about this negative behavior that you were saying that sometimes kids do just because they're wanting to get attention. What does that look like for a young person, a young kid, like a 4-year-old, what does it look like for a middle schooler? What does it look like for a high schooler?
So children will, you know, negative behavior is anything that would result in them being in trouble, right? So believe it or not, they're actually they'd rather get in trouble to get your attention if they can't get it any other way. So if they're not getting it any other way, they know for sure if they act out, whether it's you know, in the store having a tantrum because you didn't let them get a candy bar, or, you know, they throw themselves on the ground and start kicking and screaming. You know, they have learned that in order for you to respond or react, they have to do something bad. So that's what they do.
So you're saying that the negative attention in their mind is better than no attention.
You got it. So, and that becomes their normal, right? So mom looks at me and responds to me. They don't mean to do it. It's a subconscious thing. We all have needs. They have needs. And as people and as humans, we're going to find a way to fill our needs. And having mom look at you and engage with you, even if it's through being in trouble, is better than nothing. You know, but here again, that causing stress on the parent now, because every time she goes to the store, the kid has a meltdown. And, you know, it's harder to bond and connect with the kid when you're exhausted from the behavior. So there's just a cycle that goes on and on because of the child wanting the attention. As kids get older, it can be a lot of back talking, you know, just disrespect, huffing and puffing, if you want to call it, you know, just disrespectful ways of responding to you because they're hurting, because they want time with you. You know, so there are different ages and different things that kids experience, but ultimately the best way to explain it is whatever they would be in trouble for. And that's different in every house, right? So right. If you know, don't slam the doors. That's a rule, right? Let's pretend that slamming the doors is a rule. Well, if you're not paying attention to your child, I almost can guarantee you they're going to slam the doors because they don't care. They want you to pay attention to them in some capacity. So, you know, each family's different, but just whatever they would be in trouble or you would react to is what they're going to keep doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And for those families that I can hear parents thinking, well, how can I spend the time with these kids? Because I have to work. I have to do this. Can't they just entertain themselves? Or?
Sure. And in fact, children that have their emotional needs met do entertain themselves, right? They play. They go off. They do their thing because they're not starving. It's the children that do not have their needs met who are attention seeking and kind of always in your space. So it's healthy to create. Okay, so let's say a mother, you know, works and, you know, is busy. And there's moments like, for example, in the car ride. Okay, you got to drop the kid off. Mm-hmm. To school or to daycare or pick them up. Maybe you're driving them to sports,
right?
You know, But maybe you make that 10-minute drive
right.
that you're going to do anyway, turn the radio off, put the devices down if they're teenagers, talk to mom, tell me what you had for lunch today. I ask my kids every single day. I'm like, which is somewhat of an insignificant thing, but it's those little details that create intimacy, right?
Right.
It's
right.
The little things. What did you have for lunch? You know, oh, cool. Who did you sit by? How's your friend doing? You know, making that car ride the priority. So you can do it. You just gotta, you have to be committed to it, create a little bit of a plan and stick to it. And the results are amazing.
Right. And I believe it's definitely about quality, not quantity. As a single mom myself, back in the day when I was raising my little one, it was exactly the car rides that we would talk a lot.
Well, I didn't even know that.
And there are times sometimes that we got home, but the conversation was still going and we sat in the car and we still talked. It's just those quality times, like you said, is really important. And with teenagers, I think it's really also important. It's getting into their world. I would sometimes sit there and watch shows with her, even though these were shows that I did not really. And many times I would listen and ask, and then I'd ask her, what would she do in that situation? It's just to get the conversation going.
Absolutely.
Yes. And if you can, trying to make sure you show up to your kids' events.
I think
even if they didn't want it. I mean, my daughter never wanted me to come in middle school.
Still. But you know what? You got it.
Yes. It's how you value time.
Absolutely.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think that's really, really important. And so in your work with foster children, many times I hear people saying, well, I don't know if I should think about fostering, because in their mind, they're thinking, wow, it's all these kids that have all these negative behaviors. But as we're just talking about it, some of these kids don't have negative behavior and some do, but a lot of the negative behavior is because of lack of attention.
Exactly.
Lack of attention and consistency. Mm-hmm. Because also I do think that being a consistent parent helps in the sense of the rules and all that kind of stuff.
And chances are if they're in foster care now, obviously there was a lack of their basic needs being met. Their structure wasn't, you know, there was a crisis that resulted in them being put into foster care. And so, you know, they need structure and care more than any children. And I have to say, you know, the children that do tend to have the most behaviors in the foster care system are those that have been bounced around so often. It's hard enough to lose the connection with your own family, but then to just not feel wanted or accepted anywhere is devastating for them. So, you know, fostering overall, the kids are very, very sweet, but there are a small percentage that do struggle. You know, I explain this to people in this exact way. And when I explain it this way, people understand and they're more patient. So I say, for foster children, hypothetically, let's say I gave you a ticket that was a symbol of your house. Mm-hmm. Like, let's pretend we have those little raffle tickets. Okay, I give you a ticket for your house, a ticket for your bike, a ticket for your stuffed animal, ticket for your relatives, siblings. I give you a ticket for your school. I give you a ticket for your daycare. I give you a ticket for the special cup that you like to drink from. I give you a ticket for your neighborhood, on and on and on. And then I say to you, and you're a little child, give me all those tickets
right now.
Give them all to me. Okay. That's exactly what they're put through. They don't have anything that they did the day before. Nothing.
So heartbreaking. Yeah.
Not a mother, not a father, not a blanket, not a toy, not a bike, not a neighborhood, not an aunt or an uncle. It's over. It's taken from them at one time. Even adults can't manage change to that capacity.
Right.
So how on earth can we expect children to? And so if they're emotionally distraught, let's look at why, and let's offer them the support and the compassion that they need to feel safe, and to say, okay, so what color was your favorite cup at home? Let's go get you a blue cup. I mean, that's it. It's something that small that's missing a lot of times. So again, resulting in those behaviors that we talked about.
Yes, yeah. And I'm just thinking when you said that, it leads me thinking of a little child that just doesn't know who to trust, what to trust.
Right.
Who to get close to, maybe not to get close to. I mean, their world is upside down.
Absolutely. So when that child comes to your house and let's say they are screaming and crying, well, guess what? Maybe they need a nightlight, but you didn't know it. Maybe they're allergic to milk and they drank milk because nobody, guess what? Nobody knows. Nobody knows they're allergic to milk. Maybe they have a bellyache, on and on and on. So this is part of my mission, as you already know, that the way children come into care has to change. And I'm working on that to where when they come into care, it's done therapeutically and the right way. And that we provide them the support that they need, because the whole point of taking them out of a bad situation is to give them a better situation. We don't need to be traumatizing them again as we try to help them, right? That's counterproductive. So, but yeah, so then, you know, but when I explain to people, this is what they came through, then they're more patient. So this family support concept, when we don't just go see the foster child, I'll go talk to the foster parent and say, how are you doing? Let's talk about your self-care. This is a lot. Let me explain to you why little Johnny is behaving that way. And here are some ideas and some tips to help with that. Okay. Well, now that foster parent has support. The child, everybody is getting support and they're understanding how to make things run smoother. And then they do run smoother. But here's the problem. A lot of them don't get that. They just don't. The foster parents don't get it. And unfortunately, children in the foster care system a lot of times don't get the attention or the therapy until they're doing really bad things. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, well, let's kind of like get them help before they start fires, right? Like let's prevent it from getting to that point. Not that they start fires, but you know what I'm saying? Figure of speech. You know, so those that are very severe and they're struggling will get the attention. That's not the way this should be going. If you're removed from everything, you know, you should have intervention immediately. Within 24 hours, you should have some kind of a support in place, in my opinion. So I'm working to create awareness and to make that happen.
Okay. Yes. Well, we're going to take a little break right now, but in our break, Dr. Jamie, I would like for you to share with the audience about the Sterling House, how that came about, because ever since I've known Jamie, she's had these passion for these little mm-hmm. ones. In fact, Jamie used to cry about it.
Just, every time.
What can I do? What can I do? And she was blessed in the sense of different opportunities are lining up to help her work on the mission of the Sterling House. So yes, Jamie, let's for this commercial, tell us about the Sterling House. And how does that work?
Oh, you always say the Sterling House, which is funny.
Oh, because, the Sterling thing.
Is it but it's funny because I don't have something with my logo in my reach, but I would show everyone that there's a house in my logo.
Okay.
So that's why Dr. Brown always says the Sterling House, and it just kills me. I want to rename it because that, you know what, that would have been a better name. But the Sterling Center was created through seeing the suffering and knowing that things could be done better and knowing that somebody has to stop passing the buck. Somebody has to be accountable. Somebody has to fight a really scary battle. And I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do it. And so we offer in-home therapy, which is very important to intimacy. We offer in office. We do all sorts of family support. We specialize in trauma. We have a family counseling room here at the center. We do supervised visitations, therapeutic supervised visitations, parenting, on and on. So we offer all services that help to facilitate healthy families.
Awesome. The Sterling Center is located in Fort Myers, Florida. And what's the website and the phone number for the Sterling Center?
So we're thesterlingcenter.org. So thesterlingcenter.org, and the phone number is 239-273-0270.
Awesome. Yes. So you mentioned about therapy, and I'm just thinking as people are listening, when should a family think about entering therapy?
Okay. Excellent question. Because I also want to talk about families, not necessarily in the foster care system, because we serve all families, right? And in fact, I would love to serve those families before it became a foster care system situation.
Oh, that'd be great. Yes.
Right. So if families had support, maybe they wouldn't have gotten to the point of having to even go to a crisis. Right. And then there's other families which are more better functioning or higher functioning that also struggle quietly, and everybody thinks things are fine. And on the surface, it looks fine, but the reality is it's not fine. And because there are no major mental health diagnoses, people don't realize that a therapist can help you manage your daily stresses and scheduling and time management and other things that you don't have to have a mental health diagnosis for. It might just be something you're adjusting to or struggling with a short period in your life, but with services that you could get through. So families nowadays are very diverse, which I love.
Yes.
I love. So there's all kinds of different families. You know, we have multicultural families. We have just every different, I almost never see a dynamic alike. Like I have families, and family doesn't have to even be a mom or a dad. It might be an aunt and an uncle.
Right.
It might be a family is not defined by whatever society decided it was. A family is who we share our home with and who is there for support. And so the concept of family is so different nowadays, but it's so beautiful. And I think it's diverse and amazing in those ways. However, all of those different dynamics create different challenges. So as people, you know, you're not supposed to know how to fix that. If my car starts to not work, I take that thing to the mechanic. I'm not going to start trying to fix it because then it'll never run. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So you have to look at resources and say, for example, one of the largest issues that I see is the blended families, right?
Right.
Where you have two people that are remarrying and they each are bringing some kids.
Yes.
Oh, you want to see some, honey, let me tell you.
Yeah. Yes. It
Girl,
changes things. Yes.
It gets real crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Because they all have their own background and you're trying to blend them in, and everybody wants. So blended families are probably the biggest struggle that I see that also end in another failed marriage. Because there was no help or therapeutic support as you were working through those issues, you didn't have the support, the family falls apart, now you're on failed marriage number two. And all those kids that could have been healthy siblings and learned to bond in a healthy, effective way are now split up again. So blending families is really, really tricky, but it can be absolutely beautiful with the right support.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. And also I'm thinking sometimes kids do certain behaviors and parents think, well, they'll just grow out of it. You know, kid has a tantrum and they're 8 and parents say, oh, they'll just grow out of it. Or, you know, they're throwing things or kicking things and everyone's like, oh, they'll just grow out of it. That's just the kid. But many times behaviors are not within the normal range of that child's age and developmental level and stuff. And sometimes you need to get intervention. You need to get help. And in getting help, that also means when you go for therapy, it's confidential. This person totally. Is coming in non-biased. And no therapist wants to go in and take the parent's role, because I also hear that. I don't want someone coming in my house telling me what to do.
Yes.
How do you handle that when that's...
So ultimately, and I'm going to say something, and you know me, I'm pretty, pretty straightforward, but honestly, I just don't know that there's any other way to get the results.
Right.
And so, you know, we're always sent in for the child. You know who needs the help?
Yes.
The parents.
Exactly.
Because the child is only reacting to whatever deficit there is happening in the parental role or in their life somewhere else. So children are just reactive. So if a child is still having tantrums beyond when they're supposed to, we would identify what is the trigger. What is the trigger? And guess what? It's different for every single kid. Mm-hmm. So I don't expect the parents to be able to do that on their own, because that's why you have professionals and, you know, we have certain tools. But anytime a child is acting out, they're reacting to a negative situation internally within themselves. It may not be directly from the parent. Maybe there's somebody bothering them at school. But if you don't have that intimate relationship, that regular contact, they're not going to tell you about it.
Right.
So the struggle, it may not even be directly related to you as a parent. But if you're not connected, then they're not going to feel safe and bonded enough to tell you when those other things are happening. So it still becomes your problem. Essentially, you know, if you're the parent and you're the leader, you know, you're in charge, and you have to create these relationships that are intimate and that are connected to be able to figure out what is going on. And as a therapist, when we work with the children, that's exactly what we do, right? So when the dialogue with us, it's not that you're not in trouble. We come in as, how can Miss Jamie help you, honey? I know you're struggling. I see it. Let's talk about this. Okay. If the parents could learn what we're doing, which they can, and I teach as many as I can, how to have conversations that are effective and non-authoritative, right. Because they'll see the child just spill everything to me, and they'll be like, well, you never told me. Well, let's talk about that. You know, let's learn right. how to address these issues. And then when we do that, the behaviors stop.
Right.
There's no medication. There's nothing in the world that can replace what we do. I'm not saying medication isn't necessary in many cases, because it is. But in addition to the medication, you have to have behavior management. You have to learn parenting. There's a whole other half of the coin that right. if you don't have, you're still going to have struggle.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that the parenting skills is something that also is gained in counseling, that parents
Absolutely.
Can actually, because if you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm not really connected with my kid and yada, yada, I'm busy and he's 9 or 10, and you're like, well, that's just the end of it. No, there's still time.
No.
There's
always
a lot
time.
Of time. And the counselor's role isn't to stay with your kid forever. The counselor's role is to help the kid with what's going on, but helping the kid connect with the parent. Am I correct?
Exactly. 100% correct. So we need to facilitate and educate the parents of how to do these things when we're not there.
Right.
You know, and I'll say, you know, I get to see you one time a week, but what about every day when you're at home? So parenting is probably my biggest focus at this agency, because when the parenting is in line and they have tools, when this happens, consider this, this, and this. They have tools. Now they're building their toolbox. So their lives become more manageable. They don't feel alone. And then the children's behaviors stop. And, you know, I get to witness so many people that go from struggling and stress and sadness really to really thriving. And I'm not saying that they don't have issues along the way. Life is going to present issues forever. My goal is to give you the tools to navigate those. You know that when this is happening, bring out that tool because that'll help you fix it. So I'm teaching you skills that you'll have forever, you know, which goes well beyond my time with them.
Right. What do you tell those parents who has kids who maybe not have the physical behaviors that we were talking about, but their kids are very withdrawn. They don't say anything. They're quiet the whole time. You get a yes or no, a head nod. They go into the room and they're quiet. Maybe they're online a lot. And, you know, as a parent, you're like, well, my kid never really gives me any problem. But
you so you're really taking the path of least resistance. They're quiet, so I'm going to let it be.
Right. Exactly. You know,
they're not bothering me. So, hey, I'm going to get to sit over here and look at my Facebook while they play that video game.
Right.
We're all
right.
Tired. Everybody wants a break. Right.
Right.
So
right.
It's common, but it's problematic. And this show being about intimacy really is so close to my mission, because connecting to your teenagers or your younger children is absolutely imperative to bonding with them. They're not going to come to you when they're in trouble or considering doing something. If you haven't checked, if there's not a regular dialogue, then why would they come to you, right? So I hear parents say all the time, well, I didn't realize they were doing this or that. I didn't see it. I didn't know. Well, because you weren't present enough. Now, I'm going to go right back to the reality. We're all busy. We all have lives. Am I saying that you have to spend 6 hours a day one-on-one with your kid? Nope, not at all. You can create little tiny moments, okay? Another really good one. Teenagers don't want to hang out with their parents. I didn't,
right.
You know? So what you can do in your home, and each family that I work with, I figure out that family and ways that we can create stuff in their routine already. So that's another really good thing about family support and what we do. It's individual to that specific circumstance. Okay. So I figure out, okay, this is what you guys normally would do. We're going to create that on Sunday mornings, okay, from 10 to 11 a.m., it's unplug time. It's no devices. We're going to sit here and eat waffles. Waffles every Sunday from 10 to 11. We're going to sit and nobody, including mom and dad, brings a device. We're unplugging. Okay. It's an hour.
Right.
It's an hour. You have 24 hours in a day. It's one time a week. Your teenager is busy. You're busy to say, so what's going on with, you know, this or that? I mean, you're connecting. And so just creating those little things, and this is what therapists do, is they help you to find your own little routine that facilitates that the kids can be the kids. And we don't want to, it's natural for them. And I'll give you a little explanation about teenagers and sort of why they start to go on their own is because their development requires that. Okay. So as children grow into little young adults, their development is preparing them to be adults.
Right.
So they start wanting to be around us less. They start hanging out with us less. And it's all necessary for them to develop into people that can make their own decisions. Right. So, and when I explain that to parents, all of a sudden too, they're like, oh, well, that's really good. So no longer are they angry about it. And I'm like, well, if at 18, they're supposed to go off and do their thing, then at 16, they're going to challenge your boundaries, right? Because they're starting to think about being adults. And so when I educate them about development and that this is necessary, you would just be amazed at how things shift, you know? Mm-hmm. So these are the conversations that I get to have, even regarding teenagers or young adults that are disconnecting in ways that we can reconnect.
Right.
In just little ways.
Right. Right. And it's interesting that you mentioned challenging boundaries, because I think with many parents and teenagers, that's like one of the main struggles. How do you deal when your teenager starts to challenge the boundary? And you can't just say, do it because I said so. You don't need a doggone reason, because then that even makes them either want to challenge it more
or shuts
them down.
That's right.
Yes. One technique that I remember using and that sometimes I offer is having a notebook that went back and forth between me and my daughter. Yes. Because sometimes when you get so upset, it's good to take your time to process
absolutely
it before you just completely respond. So we would write notes to each other, basically. Yes, she would tell me her side, I would tell her my side, and we'd go back and forth to come to a compromise. Yes.
Communication could be a lot of different ways. Yeah.
Yes, yes. But it was allow her to express herself. And I think that's really important when you're working with teenagers. You have to find a way of how to teach them how to express themselves in an effective manner.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. And definitely in the sense of working with your teenagers and, like you said, helping to prepare them for adulthood. Because I'm a believer, as a parent, we are their first employers.
Totally.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's right. That's perfect.
You want your kid to stay employed or, you know, be okay on a job, because it's not so much sometimes about the skill, but it's how you relate to your boss and to your supervisor. So definitely.
Can you communicate respectfully? Can you resolve conflict? Exactly. So we have to teach them all those things. We are their first employer.
Yes. Well, we're going to take a small break now. Then when we come back, I want to just talk a little bit about when these kids grow up and move out the house, the relationship there, and then also what happens to the couple in the sense of intimacy. So on the last part of this commercial, I would like to do just a commercial about bringing intimacy back here in the show. Please definitely, if you have questions, concerns, you can always call in at 1-888-627-6008. We actually do this show live every other Thursday. We're on a podcast. You can find me on the website on www.bringingintimacyback. But also, you can find me on Facebook and LinkedIn on Bringing Intimacy Back. And if you really like what you're hearing, please give a click on like us and give us suggestions and stuff and keep the dialogue going, because that's what we really want to hear. We want to hear your feedback, and we want to know if this is what you're needing out there. So like us, give us, and we're on all the different podcasts. All right. So, Jamie, what happens when these teenagers, you finally do a good job, you let them out the house? What is the relationship? And, you know, the great thing about Jamie, which I haven't mentioned yet, is Jamie also has a very strong family background. Not only an intimate connection with her kids, but she's a wonderful husband. And then she also has a lot of, not a lot of siblings, but
there's a big group of us.
Yes, yes. But as a family, they're truly bonded with the father and all that kind, with your father, that kind of stuff. So how is it in the sense of kid leaves the house? Is it like you're done raising them? Is there no more connection?
So this is a really great question. And it's something that, let me just start by saying that as parents, our whole identity becomes being a mom or a dad. So there's a lot of shift that goes on in this empty nesting, right? And I encourage everybody to get support during these times, because it's not only the children that are leaving and starting their lives, you have another phase too. And so that can be really, really scary. And what we like to do is sort of reframe that and making it positive and making sure that you have the ways to keep connected, to keep the bond and intimacy with your adult children. They're always your babies, but they're adults. So one of the biggest suggestions that I offer is understanding, going back to the conversation about boundaries, that they are now adults, right? So you've done the raising, you've done all the lecturing, you've done it. You've planted those seeds, and here's your little tree just growing and out in the world. So the dynamic of the relationship has to shift into more of a support and not a critical authoritative tone. So if you present as, hey, how's your new job going? I bet it's going great. And let's say hypothetically, you know, the job didn't work out and a week ago, you know, your son got let go or something. Your response to something like that is going to dictate whether or not you're keeping those connections, because as an adult, they're their own person now. Right, and exactly. You have to respect who they are and not continue to try to mold. I mean, we are always their parent, but we need to shift into more of a, I'm here, I respect your choices, I honor your choices, and if you need to talk or you need a hug, you know where to get it. So we can't be critical. At that point, your job is done as far as that. Now, if you come and keep these connections positive, they will reach out. And yes. They'll be like, so mom, I got let go of that job and I just feel lost. I don't know what to do. Well, right. Now, because you have a tone of support and not I'm your mother and I'm disappointed in you and all that, they will open up the door to allow you to continue to interject some mindful things. Okay. Well, buddy, you know, give this a try, or, you know, let's look at that. But they have, in their development, they are independent and they do not want to be criticized or ridiculed. So if you want to keep an intimate connection with your adult children, just taking the stance as a support person will help, you know, everybody be successful in that. Just respecting that they're not you, they're them, right? They're them. So you may not understand a decision because that may not be a decision you would have made. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It wasn't your decision to make.
Right.
It was their decision to make. And so now we support what their decisions are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what you said is definitely true. As having an adult child, it is about respecting the boundaries.
Totally.
Yes, yes. And understanding. But also it's about, because her and I communicate almost every day. It's about talking. Yeah, talking to one another and stuff. And even in the sense of, because I'm part of the sandwich generation, I talk to my mom all the time. But it's also about her respecting my boundaries and I respecting her boundaries and being respectful.
Totally.
Yes. Yes.
Totally.
Yes.
And that's the key to it, is that we have to, and I always say in parenting too, respect is reciprocated. Like even with smaller children, you know, if you can't stop and look at them and ask them what's going on, don't expect them to do the same. And so we have to give each other that and model that throughout life, but especially when a person is independent and living in their own lives and making their own decisions. If we're critical or too nosy, they might say, you know what, I'm not calling my mom today because I don't want to hear it. You know, so just got to shift the dynamic so that it's a positive thing. And then too, like what you were saying with talking to your daughter every day or your mother, if you talk to each other regularly, even if it's just for a minute, you know, maybe your son's like, oh my gosh, there's this lady at work that's so annoying, you know, and he just gets to vent to you about it because you called. Right. And you could go, oh man, you know, there's always one.
Right.
You know what, son? I don't care where you go in life. There's always going to be somebody, honey.
Yes.
Bless your heart. You know what? I'm going to pray for you because that is rough. That's it. Right?
Right.
Now you were just there for that one. So then the next time you call, the intimacy, that connection, you can go, hey bud, how are you? So is that lady still, is that annoying lady still there? Because you remember from the last conversation, a little detail about his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's those little things that keep people connected. They don't have to be big things. You know, you could live states away from each other, but just you knowing that there's an annoying lady at his work is simple, it's small, and it keeps that intimacy and it keeps that bond.
Exactly, yes. And about the one little quick thing that you mentioned is that when your kids do move away, that empty nest that you really do, yes, because many times your life is centered around the kids, and when the kids are gone, you have to, you know, sometimes reinvent yourself or find things that you really enjoy. And it goes all the way kind of back to what you said all the way in the beginning. If you haven't, in the beginning, when you start having kids, have me time and learn how to, that self-care.
Totally.
Then when they leave, it is a bombshell. But
oh,
if you had it all the time, you know, where you've gone and gone to your hair and nails.
I'm going to give you an example
of
that.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you an example of that. So I enjoy going to concerts. So yes. My little daughter, she's like, Mom, you're getting dressed up. Where are you going? I go, I'm going to go to a concert. I'm excited. Yeah. And so she's like, oh, Mom, I want you to be home with me. And I go, oh, well, you know what? I'll be home later and I'll make sure I give you a kiss when I get in. And then if she continues, I'll say something like, hey, do you remember when you went to your friend's house last weekend and you had a slumber party? And I was so excited for you to go have fun. Mommy wants you to be excited that she's going to go have fun. And I want you to know that Mommy deserves time with her friends too. So you nailed it. If we create that dialogue from the start and we honor ourselves and the things that we like, it's not as hard when they do leave because you have your own things that you're still involved in, or you always have been. And it doesn't make you a bad mom or a bad dad to get a break and go do something that you enjoy. You need it, and your kids need to see that you're modeling self-care.
Right.
Because
exactly.
Kids aren't, they're not going to do what you say half the time. They're going to do what you do.
Exactly. Yeah. And you do need to make it seem like being an adult is good and it's fun, because if you make it seem like it's miserable and you're always complaining and stuff.
Exactly.
No kid wants to grow up and be an adult.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yes. Yeah, definitely. Well, Jamie, this has been an amazing hour of talking
with
you.
It went so fast. I could do this all day with you, but you know.
Yes. Thank you so much for being on the show. And again, please tell us how we can connect with the Sterling Center.
Sure. You said Sterling Center.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for having me. Everybody that's listening, I just want to say before I sign off that Dr. Brown has been a huge part of my life, a mentor, somebody that I respect beyond measure and could only hope to be a fraction of the person that she is. So true honor to be a part of this and to be sharing this time with you. And you guys, I just also have to tell you that she's very modest. So I'm going to tell you guys how awesome she is. And she's also very modest about how amazing her daughter is, which is a testament to you and the dedication and raising. We're talking about families and children.
Right.
And you raised an amazing, productive, precious girl, which says a lot about you. So I know you're not going to come out and say that, so I have to tell everyone. So thank you for having me. And the SterlingCenter.org, 239-273-0270. Just take care of you and take care of your families is the best thing I can say. And I'm so grateful that I was given the opportunity to talk with you today.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Dr. Jamie Sterling.
Okay. Yes. You can call me whatever you want.
Yes. And we would love to have you back on any time. If you like this show, please hit like us or go look on Facebook or any of the other social media. We're on Twitter and all the others. Thank you so much, everyone. This has been the Bringing Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real. Thanks.